Well, happy Sabbath. Good afternoon to all. I have a memory. In the late 1970s, I would have been about 12 or 13 years old, driving a tractor in the fall in northern Indiana. It was a loud tractor, International Harvester 706, if anybody knows that. Medium-sized tractor, loud, no cab, cold. Plowing back then, and a plow, you can picture the famous epic statue of the man beating the sword into a plowshare. A plowshare is about a foot and a half. And what it is designed to do is to scoop underneath the ground and turn it over. So in the fall, when the corn and the beans have been harvested, we go out and plow the field back then to then prepare for the next spring harvest. It was exciting as a kid because it's so loud and it's fast. And you have to be going fast. And then at the very end, you have to turn. And there's a fence. So you always want to stop before the fence, but you can't stop. You're going. So you have to, in just a minute or an instant, lift the plow, turn the wheel, hit the brake, do all of this, put it back down and go again. And pheasants would sometimes jump out. There's all kinds of things. So I remember that. And there was a big white radio my grandfather had got because he liked to listen to the Indy 500 race. So I'd be listening to the Bears games late October. When I think of plowing, that's what comes to mind for me. Now, if any of you would have known my grandmother, she would have said 50 years before that, she would have thought about Dick and Doc. Those were her horses. She would hitch up the horses to a one-bottom plow. Many of you might have seen a plow that would have two handles. Northern Indiana at that point was a swampland that was being turned into farmland in places. There were rattlesnakes in the furrow. Grandma's memory of plowing is very different than mine. What about yours? Not sure if you have memories of plowing. If so, I'd be curious to learn. But today, the title is The Plow. 3 points, 3 verses. What are some lessons that we can learn from the plow? To make this add a little bit of hopefully some humor, some enjoyment for you, the 3 points, each of the points will be tied to a movie quote. Many of these quotes you would know. Most of you might know all three. We'll play for all ages. The movies will range from 2003 to 1939. So the first movie from 2003, set in the Pacific Ocean, there was a fish, a Pacific blue tang. There's another fish, a clownfish, that was lost. His name was Nemo. You might know the movie Finding Nemo. You might also, if you've seen it, picture the scene where Dory, the Pacific blue tang, is talking to Nemo's father and says, "Hey, Mr. Grumpy Gills, when life gets you down, do you know what we've got to do? Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming, just keep swimming." Exactly, there you go. Now, this goes into a falsetto, which my daughter encouraged me to try. My wife said probably better not to, so we'll just leave that as a maybe a future thing. So anyway, point number one, in the spirit or theme of Finding Nemo, it's just keep plowing. So please turn with me to Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, where it says, "But Jesus said to him, 'No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" Now, according to BibleHistory.com, it was a different type of plow back then. It was a one-handled plow. So there was one handle on the plow. The other hand was for a goad to then keep, supposedly, the oxen or the donkeys or the camels or whatever was pulling it in line. So it's a one-handled plow. Expositor says it's fatal to look back. Now, I'm not sure how a plow would kill, maybe. Cambridge talks a little bit more about it. It was really light, easily overturned, required constant attention. So if a person was turning back and this animal maybe takes the wrong turn or there's a hit a rock or something, I don't know that fatal would really be there, but I would say it would be dangerous to try to be plowing going forward with two animals pulling the plow and you're holding this one handle on the plow. Barclay says, "No one has plowed a straight furrow by looking backwards, and a wheel naturally turns where you look back." In this verse, it's a pretty simple verse. There's no real complicated words in it. But I think the contemporary English version points this out a little bit more, makes it a little bit more clear. It says, "Anyone who starts plowing and keeps looking back isn't worth a thing to God's kingdom." So what this is highlighting is putting a hand to the plow is accepting the work, the job that we're doing as a Christian. As we're doing that, we need to be working forward, pushing forward, and not continually looking back. There's a quote from Jackie Joyner Kersee, the Olympic gold medalist, who said, "It's better to look ahead and prepare than to look back and regret." So point number one, just keep plowing. Point number two, we'll go back to 1994. In the African jungle, many animals, lions, a meerkat, a warthog, the Lion King. There's a scene where the baby lion, Simba, is being rescued, and the meerkat and the warthog named Timon and Pumbaa are talking. Timon says, "He looks blue." Pumbaa says, "No, he's really a brownish gold." Timon says, "No, I mean he's depressed. Is there anything we can do?" Then Simba says, "Not unless you can change the past." So Pumbaa gives these words of wisdom that I've quoted many a time. "In times like this," my buddy Timon says, "you've got to put your behind in the past." Timon says, "No, no, no, amateur. Lie down before you hurt yourself. You've got to put your past behind you." So point number two, put your past behind you. Philippians 3 and verse 12 highlights this. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Says, "Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ." Jameson Fawcett Brown brings out, this is talking about the Olympics. And it's not just any part of a race, it's the final part of a race. It's lunging towards the finish line. So if you've ever been in a sprint, if you've ever been in a race, and you're getting down to the last few steps and you're leaning forward, nobody's going to stop and take a turn and turn around and look backwards. That's the moment you're leaning forward. That's the moment that you're really focusing on pressing forward and leaning forward. Expositor says it doesn't mean to never remember. So we can think about both the plowing example and now this. Not that we should never look back, not that we should never remember, but to refuse to absorb or impede progress with the memories. So what are the types of things that we shouldn't be constantly looking back towards? It could be good things or it could be bad things. If we constantly look back at past failures or sins, we might not understand or be underestimating forgiveness and the ability to move forward and press forward towards the goal. If we constantly look back towards prior achievements, we might be overconfident, being thinking about the past. So it's really important as we go through life to not be constantly turning backwards and living in the past, learn lessons from the past, but to press forward with our hand on the plow. There's a lady who gives many speeches. She's given a TED Talk. Her name is Deb Sofield. And there were many quotes that I really wanted to share, a lot of them, but I won't share that many. But there was one I really liked, and it says, "When your past calls, don't answer. It has nothing new to say." When your past calls, don't answer. There's nothing new to say. There are a couple of other things I'll just mention quickly. The stickiness of the past is hard to unglue in the present. Remembering the past is okay, but don't live there. And then the quote I'll finish with, don't keep digging up old bones and chewing on them. And don't let someone with the significance of a speed block become a roadblock. So point number two, put your past behind you. Point number three for the old timers, let's go way back to 1939. There was a movie about a tornado in Kansas and a little dog named Toto. And The Wizard of Oz, Judy Garland, Tin Man, Lion, and Dorothy. There's a famous quote from that, and it starts with the word lions and tigers and bears. Oh my! Point number three, plows and shovels and hoes. Oh my! Now, why would I combine that? What is the difference between a plow and a shovel or a hoe? BibleHistory.com also stated that Egypt is probably where the first plow was created or made. And somebody just had the idea of, instead of going out with a hoe or a shovel to turn the soil over myself, let's use one of these big animals, or let's get a couple of these big animals. So then in Bible times, when I talk about unequally yoked, it's saying that an ox and a donkey don't really pull a plow together that straight, that well. That's the reference point. But the idea here is it takes somebody else's power to pull a plow. In my life, it was a tractor. In Grandma's life, it was Dick and Doc. Back in Egyptian times, who knows what the animals were? They could have been most anything. But the idea of it takes an extra power to pull the plow. It's not pulled by the person who has their hands on the plow or who is then managing the plow. There's a quote that I read, or a little story about a farmer wrote a letter to his son who was in jail for robbing a bank. So you could imagine his father's sad, his boy robbed a bank, he's now in prison. And he says, "This year I can't plant potatoes because you aren't here to plow the field." The son wrote back, "Papa, don't dare plow that field because that's where I hid the money I stole." The police intercepted the letter, and by the next day they dug up the entire field but found nothing. Then the son wrote back and said, "Papa, now you can plant your potatoes." So that story highlights it wasn't the power of the papa that then spaded the field to get it ready for planting, but the son was a little creative from prison. So if we fast forward, the three-bottom plow that I drove, it's now rusting. As I was later in my teenage years, I was driving bigger tractors with cabs. That made it nicer. Disking more, so that wasn't plowing as much because of erosion. And things just continue to change. But what's consistent is that a power was needed, be it a bigger tractor or a smaller tractor or horses, to then pull that plow. So in conclusion, there are many lessons that we can learn from the lessons of the plow. Quoting Nemo, kind of, just keep plowing. Keep your hand on the plow. Lean forward. Keep busy. Do our job. Secondly, quoting the famous Pumbaa, put your past behind you or put your behind in the past. Meaning with our hand on the plow, don't turn back. Focus on the future. And then finally, plows and shovels and hoes, oh my. Meaning that a plow is different than a shovel or a hoe because it's not powered by the person on the handle. It requires a greater power to then power that plow. And we have been given access to the greatest power source of all time.